Manchester City ahead. And Kelly to line this one up. Oh! She has hit an absolute beauty in true Chloe Kelly style.
Shaw in the penalty area awaiting, and sets it in, Ward sees it home. Made a good run, flags it down, shot again. Another dangerous delivery that delivers another goal for Manchester City. And once again, it's Bonnie Shaw.
Hello and welcome back to MCW Fancast. I'm Emma. Thanks for listening. In this week's episode, we're unpacking the sensational 4-0 victory at Durham played at Maiden Castle as City secure their place in the fifth round of the FA Cup. The draw took place earlier this week where we were drawn against Arsenal. Shock away. And this week on the pod, we're joined by Jane and Paul as we break down the key moments from the match and get our reaction to the cup draw. Plenty to talk about this week, so let's get stuck in. Jane, Paul, thank you both for joining me. Jane, we've not had you on the podcast for a bit. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. It's really good to come back on and have a little chat with you.
Yeah, and Dave's all right. He's just a bit under the weather.
Yeah, just losing his voice a little bit. So, you know, he's going to rest it for the game on Sunday.
Yeah, good idea. He's going to need it. And that derby. Paul, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, good. You know, pleased with the result at Durham and looking forward to two really big games in the next week.
Yeah, let's just get straight into it then. So Durham, a good result at the weekend, a 4-0 win away from home. Jane, what did you make of the game?
It was a good game. I think we did quite well coming out and getting that nice early goal because, you know, the longer a game like that goes on without us scoring, the more kind of the team who were the underdog, if you like, will fancy their chances against it. So I think kind of coming out, getting that goal nice and early really, really helped. And it was a good day, good game.
Yeah, and what a goal it was as well. Nice finish from Coombsy.
Top quality. Coombsy always loves to score little worldies. She loves to score absolute bangers. So I expect nothing less from her.
Yeah, she's definitely got that in her locker as well. And good to see her get a good amount of minutes as well.
Yeah, it was definitely, you know, she's a top quality player, really experienced, really good player to have in the side. So it's good to see her kind of coming out, starting the game and playing well.
Paul as well, like Joe Ward, another good game for her.
Yeah, I mean, I thought she was outstanding again. I mean, both her goals were quality. You know, that the first one she scored, and she just banged it in and made all that space for herself. And then the third goal, which I think was the critical one in allowing us to make some substitutions and relax a bit, was again, you know, beautiful ball from Hemp, and then she just, you know, dinked it over the keeper. Yeah, I thought it was one of those games where it was, you know, there's a definite potential for a banana skin there, especially, you know, in a small ground with big crowd winds. See the players struggling on that artificial surface. You could see them sort of almost, you know, being really sort of quite twitchy about getting the ball and where the ball was going to go. So all in all, a very, very professional performance and good to see some of the fringe players like Fowler getting on and getting some minutes as well.
Yeah, getting a goal as well. Do you know, it was really good that chip, just going back to that, very Caroline Weir-esque. We've not had that for a while, have we, Jane?
No, it's been a while that, and the ball through to Rod for that goal from Hemp. When Hemp, watching it back, I wasn't sure at the game. I wasn't sure if she meant it or if it was miss hit. And then when I watched it back, kind of on the TV afterwards, I was like, oh, she completely meant that. She knew exactly what she was doing there, Hempo. Absolutely great ball through, and then a great quality finish from it.
Yeah, I mean, it was an all round pretty professional performance as well from the team. I mean, you know, to go away, you know, 4-0 perhaps might have been a little bit difficult, but Durham really did themselves proud as well.
Yeah, I thought, you know, I have to say, I think Durham could still be playing today and they probably wouldn't have scored. But, and this is the big but, they were really well organised. They really gave us a stiff test in terms of being organised. That you can just tell the difference between the WSL and the Championship and how quickly we moved the ball around and moved from front to back. They just struggled to move it as quick enough for our, you know, quality defenders to sort of close it down. So, you know, we had 79% possession, you know, 21 shots, 10 on target. They had, I think, 3 on target and one of them was pretty weak. So in terms of them actually scoring a goal, they didn't really look like they're going to score all afternoon. But credit to them, they were really, really, really well organised and really got stuck in. And it was a really good game actually, in terms of in terms of for the spectator and on the telly. So I have to say full credit to Durham. You know, they're a club that aren't affiliated to a men's team. They're doing it the hard way, but they gave them they absolutely. You know, walk away with that from that game with absolute, you know, heads held high and full credit to them for again a very professional performance from their side as well.
Yeah. Obviously we've learnt of our opposition for the fifth round, Arsenal away, Jane. What was how are you feeling about that?
I'd like to say, oh, what a surprise that we got drawn away, and what a surprise that we've got to go to London, and what a surprise that we're the only team that got drawn to another WSL team. But on the other hand, do you know what? If you want to win the cup, you've got to beat these teams on the way. So, you know, they'll have been as upset drawing us as we were drawing them. So, yeah, we just got to go and kind of go do what we can do and beat them. We can definitely beat them on our day. It's time we got the win down at Arsenal. So let's make it this one.
Obviously, Meadow Park is always a bit of a difficult place for us to go, but you know, it's the fifth round, and it's a competition that we really want to progress in. The game takes place in a few weeks, really. It's the 11th, isn't it, of February. So hopefully, you know, we can progress in this competition and go all the way, because it's a trophy that obviously City will want to obviously get back in the trophy cabinet.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the FA Cup, it's a huge trophy. You want the day out at Wembley. You want to go down there with all the other City fans and be able to kind of enjoy the day, pick up a trophy. Like you say, it's a huge trophy. There aren't that many trophies that you can win across the season. So, you know, you've got to kind of put everything you can into winning it. Like I say, if you want to win it, you've got to beat the top teams. So we'd rather, you know, I'm sure we'd rather a different draw, but this is the one we've got. So we've got to go and do it.
Yeah, makes it all the better though, isn't it, when you get that win and then you progress and you do get to the final, because you know your road to that cup final has been a difficult one.
Yeah, you have to take out the big teams in these. You know, at some point you're gonna come up against the top five or six teams in WSL if they keep progressing. So, you know, whilst it's not an ideal draw, I don't think Arsenal are playing particularly well at the moment. I think they're struggling a bit. This is a good time for us to be going full of confidence down there and get that win. And I think we can beat them. I think we're playing better than them at the moment. But it's not easy going away. And it's terrible for the fans as well. I mean, it's yet another expensive trip and yet another road trip to London. But, you know, that's the nature of the draw. So I think we should be confident. You know, I think, you know, this season we're playing really well. I think we're playing as well as we, you know, as well as any team in the league at the moment. And I think we can go there and get a result. And, you know, it is a massive thing, go to Wembley. We've been a couple of times now with the team, and it's a brilliant day out, you know, and the crowds are getting bigger and bigger every year. This year season, it'll almost certainly be a sellout. So we want to be there, don't we? We want to be there on the flagship day for the cup competitions. It's all right winning the County Cup, and that's great. But ultimately, the FA Cup, there's nothing like it. It is the magic of the FA Cup in both the men and the women's games. And you know, this is something that we've got a great heritage in. We've got really good, you know, we've won back-to-back FA Cups. We've won it a few times. And we should hope we can get to that game and that final, because we'll take a lot of people this time, you know, even more people than normal. You know, we could take, you know, we're selling out the ground at the moment. So we're going to take a lot of people down there if we actually make it all the way.
Let's move on to the weekend then. Back at home for the first time this year. Feels good saying that. Feels like an age since we've been back at the Joy Stadium. We've got our WSL tie against Liverpool. And then once this is out of the way, we've reached that halfway point. Jane, obviously, Liverpool potentially poses a really tough test.
Yeah, Liverpool, I think, have probably been the most improved team that I've seen in the WSL this season, you know. You kind of look at the league, and last year they were in the bottom half, but this year they've put out some really big performances. I think, you know, we can't underestimate them at all, and it's going to be a difficult tie. It's a tie we can win. It's a game we can win, but, you know, we can't underestimate them. They've been playing some really good football this season, Liverpool.
Yeah, and like you said, like they are kind of like a mid, well, they're not even mid-table, really. They're above aren't they? I think they're in fifth at the moment, so they're sort of on the fringes of that top three as well. So it's going to be, a really tough game, but one that we're obviously going to be looking to win at home. It's always a really good affair, isn't it, against Liverpool? Not for the faint-hearted, put it that way, Paul.
Well, yeah, I mean, we managed to reserve our worst performance, I think, last season when we went away to Prenton Park and played them there. And we weren't at the races that day for whatever reason. It was a really poor performance, but they're a good side. And Matt Beard is a great manager. You know, he's the sort of guy you might want him at our club at some point if we change bosses. He's done a good job wherever he's gone. He's got them really well organised. They're a really good team. You know, they play nice football. Well organized, you know, we've got a few old players in there, Melissa Lawley and Jemma Bonner, and a few others that, you know, are still good players, and still can deliver. So, this is a really tricky tie, for us. They're a good team, playing well with confidence. They've strengthened, they've brought some players in. So I'm not in, you know, it's, I'm not going to be, you know, I'll be sweating a bit, I think, on Sunday afternoon. And hopefully we'll get a goal at the Asda end, and that'll kick us on. But it's not going to be easy. And, you know, I think Gareth will have spent the last few days on the training pitch, you know, getting our team motivated and organised and having a game plan. I think we should win it, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was a draw either. And we don't need a draw at this stage. We need to keep winning, because that Brighton result, as you know, is going to be, you know, is going to always be sort of making it a little bit more difficult for us, I think, to actually kick on and win the title. Because we're still in the, you know, well in the title race here, you know, because Chelsea with Sam Kerr sadly getting that ACL, you know, they're not at top form, on top form either.
Jane, how do you kind of view a game like this at this point, given the result and the way the table's looking? Do you still feel that if City can continue in this vein, that, you know, we've got a really good opportunity to really make an impact and really hopefully go all the way?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, you know, games like this are big games because they are potential banana skins. You know, Liverpool could easily come and get a result. So that's why it's important that we kind of put everything that we've got into the game, take it really seriously. You know, we've got big games coming up through the season that are going to be pivotal. We've got to go away to Chelsea first, you know. Games like that are going to be pivotal in who wins the title this year, you know, so you can't underestimate sort of, you get to the stage in the season where every game becomes a cup point final almost, because there's just so much riding on it. But you can only play the game that's in front of you. So it's about focusing on that Liverpool game, making sure we get the result. And then you can start to look at, you know, the game after that and then the game after that.
Does it make it a little bit more difficult, though, obviously having, you know, playing on Sunday and then that quick turnaround in games where we're looking to sort of Wednesday night and being back at home and a derby that potentially is looking almost, you know, we want to get a result there and a must win in terms of like progressing?
It does, but it's important to just, we can't, on Sunday, we can't focus on the derby at all, because if the derby gets into the players' heads on Sunday, then that's when you've got a possibility that you're not going to win the game in front of you. So it's about the players and the team really focusing on that Liverpool game. As soon as that's done, you know, we can start to focus on the midweek game. They're all professional footballers. They're fit and athletic. You know, I don't have any qualms that they've got the ability to play the two games in the week. You know, it just turns out, thankfully, they're both at home, which makes a difference. You know, we can get the crowd behind them, everybody on top, kind of everybody behind the team. But, you know, I don't have any issue with them having to play two games within the week. It just happens that they're both, you know, pretty big.
For me, this is about where we want to be in a few years' time, when we've got an expanded league and we're playing cup games, so that we're not having these comedy long breaks between games. You know, we're not waiting 3 or 4 weeks for a game. You know, in the men's game, playing twice a week is normal. It should be the same in the women's game in the future. We should have a 20-team league. We should have, you know, players being able to play on, you know, at the weekend and during the week, and potentially playing a European ties as well. So, for me, this is starting to warm up to where we want to be in 3 or 4 seasons' time, when we've got hopefully an expanded league, and players are, you know, having to sort of wait around for weeks, have these ridiculous and never-ending international breaks that are really tiresome, don't do anything for us as a club or for the players necessarily. And I think we now need to be thinking, as Jane rightly says, you know, we've got a professional setup. We're just about to build a new training facility that will support the women's team to be even fitter, to have, you know, more support around things like diet, you know, training regimes that suit women footballers. And I think that's going to be a really big step forward. So I would hope, you know, before you know, I shuffle off this mortal coil, and you know, and that we'll see women footballers playing normal routine that you would expect in the men's game. And I think that's when we get to that point, we'll think, yeah, that's where parity is now. That's where we want to be as a movement. Because I think, you know, as Jane says, the problem is because the league's so small, every game becomes like a cup tie. There's very little margin for error. And we need to get rid of that. We need to be able to allow women to lose the odd game, and not think, oh my God, that's the end of our title chance, you know, in, you know, November.
Which is almost ironically where we're at, because we've had a couple of performances that haven't been there. Media particularly, rule us out of any kind of title race, and here we are back in the thick of it, and perhaps in contention that City could well go on and be in the midst of that title race, Jane.
Yeah, this is it. Like you say, there's so little margin for error in the league. Like Paul says, it makes it, you lose a game in November and then you think, is that our title chance over? And actually, it shouldn't be that. There should be more teams in the league. If when we can build this league up and get a few more teams in it, it'll make it so much more competitive and, so much more exciting for everybody to watch. And that's what everybody wants.
And enjoy it more because there'll be more games to enjoy. I mean, like, this is it. Like, it almost feels so long that we've had that opportunity to get back at the Joy Stadium to go and enjoy a game of football again, even though we've had obviously Durham last week. But it just feels nice just to be back home. And the fact that it feels like we've been away for so long. I mean, what was it, sort of like mid-December? It is essentially a long time. It's been nearly a month. So yeah, I mean, I'm really looking forward to be coming back, and like you said, the crowds as well have really been growing this season. The atmosphere at the stadium and the match day experience as a whole just seems to be a whole lot better this season at the Joy Stadium. I mean, I don't know what you guys think, Jane. Have you noticed the difference?
Yeah, definitely. I think, there's been great atmospheres. I think people are really enjoying being there. The crowd numbers have lifted. And there's always, you know what, when I look at the Joy Stadium on a match day, I think it's the best in the league. It's the best in the league. The entertainment and things that we have on offer there, kind of, I don't think any other club compares to it, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think when we put on a match day, I think there's a whole experience that goes with it. And I think City as a club do a really good job of it, and I think you can see that kind of in the crowd numbers and the people. Once you've been a few times and you kind of know all where to find the fan zone, and this is what I'm doing over here, it's a great day, it's a great enjoyable experience for people, and I think you can see that kind of in the numbers that we've had, the atmosphere that we've built. I think it's been good this season.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed it. I think things like Battle of the Bands, and I think that's coming back this weekend again. And it's just little things. Even the introduction of like Autograph Alley, and like seeing people with their wristbands and getting excited about the prospect of obviously meeting players at the end of the game. And it just seems that little bit more well organized, and that they've put that little bit more effort in. I think the branding, the whole aesthetic of the ground, as you go in, it's just so impressive. I mean, you can tell from a City point of view, the investment, the infrastructure, everything that they're putting in place, it really is the foundations of hopefully a huge trajectory that the team is going to go on in terms of the women's team and the impact and the support that's going to come through the turnstiles, Paul.
Well, you know, when I first started going to City Women, I came into the game, you know, as a regular later than you guys. You know, only one side of the ground was open, you know, and even that wasn't full. At you know, the Liverpool game sold out virtually, that trajectory, that increase in support means that the atmosphere is better, stronger, more people in the ground. Not, I think. If you sit with the OSC and you look across where the away fans are, they're almost taking a full section now. You know, away fans are coming in big numbers. We've got a really strong base at the ground. I think you're right. You know, the offer, you know, the half time interviews, the Battle of the Bands, you know, lots, you know, Moonchester running around and all of that. There's a real sort of buzz around it, and the branding, the positive branding, you know, this is an exciting place to be. You want to be part of this movement. I think that's incredibly exciting. And I think other clubs could look at that and say, well, actually, what can we do to do that? You know, and I don't want to always be looking towards the men's game, but when, you know, I go at the men's games as well, what we're getting is a direct replica of what happens at the men's game. All the things you can see in the men's game are happening over the world because they see it as one club, they see it as one brand, and that's really important. And that is brilliant because for two reasons. One, because it builds the club's fan base, but also says to the players, and players talk, you want to be at this club. This is a club you want to be playing at. The facilities are brilliant. The crowds are brilliant. Everything works at this club. You know, you're not getting dressed in a porter, you know, changed in a porter cabin. You're not having a shower in a porter cabin. You're having, you know, this is a proper professionally run club. And that sort of trickles out onto the terraces as well. And I think the atmosphere at the games recently has been brilliant. Really positive, really inclusive, really watching top class players going about the business, you know, for like 12 quid. You know, it's about the cost of a cinema ticket. That's, you know, and it's great to see families coming in. It's great to see people just giving it a go and then thinking, actually, I'm going to come back next week. But it does come back to the point I made earlier. If you want to build this, you can't then have a sellout at Liverpool, then wait another 4 weeks for another game. People get out of the habit. You know, as a fan, you get into habit. You make the time to go at the games. If you're not doing it every other week, you can quickly lose that habit. So that's why I want to expand the league sensibly, and clubs like Durham, who are on the cusp of, I think, WSL status, making that leap and being able to join us and bring their fans from the northeast down to the northwest.
And Jane, from like an OSC perspective, in terms of registrations and people getting involved with the OSC, have you seen like increases in that as well? Because there seems to be a lot more people, you know, interacting with the OSC, wanting to know more about it, wanting to sit with the OSC, wanting to sing with the OSC. Like, how's it going?
Really well there. Like you say, you know, this season I think there's been an upsurge in crowds at the game, and that has transferred over to people who wanting to join up with the OSC, wanting to know what we're about, kind of wanting to come and sit with us and join us on match days and things like that, which is really good because it means that people can attend games on their own. You don't have to worry about, oh, I need to bring someone along with me. People are happy to come on their own. They know that it's a really inclusive environment. People can come and join in and make friends. You know, if somebody comes over, there's people who will talk to them and things like that. So it kind of takes away that worry for people of being on their own, because actually you're not on your own. There's a really nice community of people who are really friendly and really happy to involve you in things. So I think that's something that's definitely grown some more again this year.
Yeah, that's really good to hear as well. And if you do want to join, it's obviously worth mentioning that you guys do have a table at the Joy Stadium.
Yes, we do have a table at the Joy Stadium, so it is in the north east, near the northeast entrance, so that kind of first entrance, where you'd go in if you're on the north stand side. So the northeast corner, there's a table there. Come over and have a chat with us. Come and speak to me, Jane, or Jude, or Dave, or Blandy, who'd always be around that area, and then we can give you as much information as you need.
Let's move on to the news this week then. Alex Greenwood has made the Women's World 11 team, recognition for obviously incredible, well, an incredible season Alex had, but the incredible, obviously, player and the person that she is. She brings so much to the City squad, doesn't it, she, Paul?
Oh, outstanding player. Firstly, an outstanding professional. You know, she goes about her business in a professional way. But more importantly, she's a fantastic world-class player. I mean, I think we've seen her develop over the last two, three seasons from being a very, very good player to being world-class. And she leads our line brilliantly now. I think she's absolutely outstanding. She's one of those players that is consistently good week in, week out. It's uncanny. And actually, she brings the same level of professionalism and consistency that Steph Horton did at her peak. And there's no greater compliment for an English player to be compared to Steph. at her peak, she was one of the best players in the world. And I think Alex has stepped up to that level. And when you're working at that level, you've earned your place in that international level 11, both domestically for us and at international level. She's now firmly entrenched at the back. And when, you know, it's great to see Leah Williamson come back, and great to see her coming back from that terrible injury. But there's no guarantee that she's going to be walking straight back into that England team either. So that's the level Alex is working at, and I'm absolutely delighted for her, because I think she's just a role model for not just young players and players in the game, but young women as well in general.
I mean, like Jane, like she came into the club as pretty much a left back and cemented herself as one of the best centre backs in the world. I mean, it really is an incredible way to cap off what's been an utterly unbelievable 12 months for her. And obviously, it's coming from United, Leon, you know, that sort of background as well, to cement herself as a player that's seen City through and through. You know, she's really offered that longevity. She's loyal, and she's just a fantastic all-round player in terms of that consistency and everything she's brought that back line for City.
Yeah, she's been absolutely outstanding. And like Paul says, she's really kind of grown into that position, gone from being a good player, really good player, to an exceptional player. You know, you can see it week in, week out on the pitch. Her level never drops. She is always consistently playing well. And like you say, such a good role model to everybody around. She's so professional. She's absolutely outstanding. You know, I don't think you can underestimate the effect she has on the rest of the players in the team. And that's not just kind of on the pitch, off the pitch as well. I think she has a massive effect and a massive impact on the whole squad. So absolutely well deserved this award for her.
Yeah, and it's such a prestigious award as well. I mean, it's not something, you know, that's a given. You have to work really hard for it. And to obviously receive that that level of recognition as well is just unbelievable. And as I'm sure for her as a player, and that accolade and that recognition, it is something really special for her too, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, one or two players in that World 11 that you might query being in there. And there's been a bit of noise about that, but there's been no noise about Alex being in that starting 11. You know, she's absolutely cemented her place and earned that position. Not just because she's a really good defender, but distribution is what you would expect from a modern centre-half now. You know, the way she pings the ball around, you know, she's not only capable of breaking up an attack, she's more than capable of starting an attack. You know, and that's what that's the City way now. You play out from the back. You know, she reminds me very much of John Stones. She has that sort of feel about her. It's very calm when the attack's coming at her. But once she's got the ball, she pings that ball around brilliantly. You know, it's that distribution that's come on so much. And I think that's partly confidence, experience, good coaching at City as well, and at international level. I think she's obviously responded to the way she's being coached. I suspect she's one of those players on the training pitch, listens, and takes on board what's being said, and is always striving to be even better. You know, she'll go down when, you know, as one of our greats if she continues on this trajectory. She's absolutely outstanding, and I couldn't be more pleased for her, because everything she does screams professional. Everything she does screams, I want to be better. You know, I don't want to walk away from this game thinking I've left anything behind. And I don't think she will. So it's, you know, there's no doubt in my mind she's earned a right in that international 11. And you know, I think she's got a lot more to come as well. That's a slightly scary thing. There's a lot more to come.
It's worth mentioning as well, like former players Lucy Bronze also mentioned within there, Ella Toon. Can we take a little bit of credit for Ciara Walsh, Jane?
Yeah, I think so. I think we can take a lot of credit for Ciara Walsh there, to be honest. You know, she started a professional career with us. I think we all knew what a top class talent Ciara was. And, you know, she probably didn't get the recognition she deserved while she was at City. So, you know, sometimes the powers that be don't always look in every direction. But, you know, when you're playing for Barcelona, you'll probably get a little bit more recognition. But yeah, I think City can take a lot of credit for her being in there, yeah, being talked about there.
we've spoke already about Liverpool, but midweek, obviously, United. A quick, how are you feeling about that game?
Yeah, so looking forward to it. You know, we need to go out and win that game. We need to win that game. Never mind that it's a derby, never mind anything else. Actually, to progress in the competition and to make sure we get through, we need to make sure we win that tie. So, you know, derbies are always, always funny occasions. You can't really ever enjoy one till it's over.
And it's a Wednesday night, so it's not like we can all have a drink either.
No, that's it. No drinking to settle the nerves and to celebrate afterwards. It's all kind of, you know, home to bed for work the next day. But yeah, you know, we need to win the game. The bottom line is, if we want to definitely make sure we go through in the County Cup, then we've got to go out and win that game. So I think he needs to play the strongest team possible. And we need to do everything we can to go out and get the win.
Yeah, how much of a part do you think the fans will play in that and getting behind the team as well?
Yeah, it's massively important. You know, like you say, it's a Wednesday night, so, you know, it's not as easy for fans to travel to the stadium and everything like that. You know, it's not as easy for fans to be able to be there. So I think it's really important for the fans to get behind the team, be as loud as possible and kind of push them over the line if that's what's needed.
In terms of United as an opposition, what have you made of their season so far?
Well, they're a bit like us last season. They're a team in transition for me. They've lost two really, really key players, Battle and Russo, you know, and that's hurt them. I know their fans turned against them when they were on tour, and there was a bit of chanting about getting Skinner out. I think Skinner's done a pretty good job at United, but they are a team in transition. Just on the fans front, I mean, I was sat on the other side of the ground from the City end at the derby at Old Trafford, and it's fair to say that City outshouted United on that day. You could hear them loud and clear where I was sat. So I think there'll be a really banging atmosphere at the ground. I think the fans will get right behind the team. You know, I'm not going to suggest it's going to be an easy game, because United are still, you know, got a lot of good players in that team, but we did. You know, do a job on them at Old Trafford. You know, that was, you know, what we did definitely were the better team for 90 minutes plus. So we should go into this game very confident. You know, they're not in a great place. We're playing really well. Assuming, hopefully, we don't get any injuries at the weekend. As Jane says, we put out the best, you know, the strongest team and get that win. And I think there's every chance we can beat them, certainly at home. And I don't think they're all that this season. So I'm quite confident we can get a result and progress in our own right.
And I hope we do. That's all I'm going to say about that. And that's it pretty much for this week, but let's just finish on the news today that Sam Lewis has announced her retirement from football. 2019 World Cup winner has hung up her boots following rehabilitation from a serious knee injury that she picked up in 2017. She made 32 appearances at City. She scored a staggering 16 goals. And though it was difficult for fans to obviously be in the stadium and watch given COVID, but she was great for the club whilst she was with us, Jane.
Yeah, she did. She was an absolutely outstanding player while she was over it. I think most fans feel a bit sad that she wasn't able to stay here a bit longer and we couldn't have kind of got to see her in person and got to see her play, because absolutely outstanding talent. Like you say, you know, the goal ratio that she had from midfield is unbelievable. So if we could have seen her in the team for a little bit longer, I think she would have become a real kind of fans' favourite for people. So unfortunate that she's had to retire. So wishing her all the best for the future.
One of the big moments that Sam did have was when she in the FA Cup, wasn't it, against Everton?
Yeah, I mean, we did have a spate of bringing American players over with mixed success, but there's no doubt that Sam Lewis was the most successful of the lot. You know, that goal ratio, as Jane says, is stunning. She's one in every other game. She scored the winner in the semi final against Arsenal. She scored the opener in the FA Cup final, and she's another one that you say model professional. Came over here, new culture, really adapted to it. Really engaged with the club, engaged with the fan, you know, as much as she could with the fans, you know, through social media, etc. And as Jane says, I was very sad that she moved on when she did, because I thought she was potentially one of those game changers that could have kicked us on for a title a bit, you know, in the last couple of seasons ago. So, you know, I wish her all the best. It's very sad at 31 that you have to pack up, through injury. But she's performed at the top level for a very long time. She was a great servant to us, and I wish her well in her retirement. I understand she's gone on to some media work now, and she's an articulate, intelligent, woman, and will deliver, I think, some really interesting insights into the game. She's someone that we say good luck to you in your retirement, and thanks for everything you did for us.
Yeah, definitely. And it is, she's such, she's still a young player as well, and it just goes to show that significant impact, sorry, of, picking up those really terrible injuries. And, again, we've seen so many injuries, ACL injuries and, serious injury that do sort of impact those players in terms of, recovery, rehabilitation, and putting in the minutes in terms of the game and, the demand of the game as well, Jane.
Yeah, it is, and it's a real shame for her that an injury that she picked up, like you say, quite a while ago, is actually the thing that goes on, and you can never really recover from that. So for the players going out on that pitch, you never know when it's going to be your last game. You never know what's going to happen on the pitch, and these injuries that you pick up over time can have a real detrimental effect on your career and being able to have the real longevity of it that you'd like as a footballer. That actually, it's about making sure that when the players get these injuries, that they are getting the right treatment, that they're getting timely treatment, that they're, doing everything that should be done for them as a player, that they're getting the right physio programs and things like that. And, actually a physio program that works for a man might not be the same as for a woman. So it's about the research and things that go into that, and actually how best for a female athlete, how best can we help her recover? What do we need to do differently? It's not just about, well, this is the physio program that you go through. This is how you recover from that injury, because actually it might not be the same for a woman. So it's about making sure that the research that goes into those things continues, and that there's money pumped into that research to make sure that players aren't detrimentally treated because of that.
Yeah, there's a lot obviously for us to kind of learn and take away from it as well. And again, that kind of goes back to the sort of the investment. I mean, the world's obviously set the infrastructure of obviously the new facilities that we're wanting to put in place as well for the team. So yeah, it is detrimental, not just for obviously for us, but to the women's game in general. So yeah, it is such a shame that a player like Sam Mewis is obviously retiring early due to issues around rehabilitation and recovery.
I can tell you that if top players in the men's game were getting recurring ACL or an ACL type injury, they'd be throwing millions at it. There's a definite issue with ACLs in the women's game. There is something going on that, as Jane says, and I think you've alluded to it as well, Emma, we need to understand more why that's happening to prevent it, as much as making sure that when people do get them, that they go through a suitable and appropriate rehab program. But it's ridiculous that time and time again, top class players and other players are getting the same injury, and it doesn't happen as nearly as often in the men's game. So what is something going on that needs a big research program? And I think this new facility, as I think Jane mentioned, that we're getting, that we've just got getting planning permission for, will help maybe get some sports scientists in there to understand what's going on and what we can do to either prevent it or reduce the numbers, because it's like an epidemic at the moment. Every time you virtually you put your phone on, there's another world-class player got one, and then there's other players that are less, not quite as high profile, are getting them as well. And if Sam Kerr's getting it, and Leah Williamson getting it, and they're at top clubs with, really good support, and they're still getting these injuries, then what hope is there for players at a lower level where they haven't got that support? So I one of the things that I think is critical in the coming decade is for us to understand what's happening with ACL and other related injuries, so we don't have the likes of Sam Mewis and potentially other really good players having to retire early. 31's no age, is it, to be hanging your boots up? So let's hope that that's where we're going to be going, alongside all the other good things that happen in the league. But I think, let's reflect on a really, really, nearly 100 caps for the USA, won every medal going, that and been brilliant for us as well. So that's not a bad legacy to be leaving on.
Yeah, she's a top-class player, and we all wish her the very best. Thank you both so much for joining me this week. Jane, it's been ultra nice to have you as well, like with us as well. So hopefully we can do this again soon. Thank you both so much. We'll see you at the game on Sunday.
Yep, see you there.
Cheers. Thank you so much. So good to talk to you and see you on Sunday.
And that's it for this week. Thanks for joining us. We hope you enjoyed this week's episode. We'll see you back at the Joy Stadium for our fixture against Liverpool in the WSL on Sunday. Kickoff is 2:30 p.m. The game will be available to watch live on Sky Sports with coverage starting from 2 p.m. And if that wasn't enough, Wednesday night, attention returns to the Conti Cup for a final group stage tie against our rivals, Manchester United. To secure progression to the quarterfinals and top the standings, both teams will be looking for the win. United currently sit top of the group, with City close behind in second place. City would have a strong chance of qualifying as one of the best placed second place teams in the group should the result favour the visitors, but that would come down to results elsewhere. So please join me in manifesting that win on Wednesday night. The aim is simple. We know what we need to do, and it's just a matter of City going out and delivering on Wednesday. We'll be back next week discussing the results from the week and all the latest news from the club, including our preview of Spurs away in the WSL. Have a great week, everyone.